Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts. And today it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Jeanette Kohlhaas. Jeanette Kohlhaas is from Charleston, South Carolina, been married for 41 years, and is a lifelong LPGA golf professional and passionate advocate for wellness, mindset, and longevity in the game of golf or any sport. Now 67, she brings over four decades of experience in competitive golf, coaching, mindset, nutrition, and personal transformation to the stage. She was the only girl who played golf on the high school boys golf team in 1976 in Hawaii, then a standout collegiate golfer. She qualified for the LPGA Tour at her very first attempt and went on to compete from 1980 to 1989, earning 3 fourth place finishes among a field of world-class competitors. Today, she competes on the Legends of the LPGA Senior Tour, a circuit that celebrates elite women golfers aged 45 and over. Her journey did include a break from competition to raise her now 36-year-old son and to overcome age-related health challenges. But the past 6 years have marked a powerful comeback. She's regained her health, has no more 60-year-old joint and body aches, sleeps better than ever, and transformed her eating style, losing 45 pounds and going from a size 14 to an 8. In golf, business, and life, she especially loves helping others master their mindset because, as she puts it, it's the 6 inches between our ears that make all the difference. A dedicated student of nutrition and holistic health, she believes strongly that how we fuel our mind and bodies affects how we feel, play, and live. She's also set to release her upcoming ebook, Fairway to Heaven or Highway to Divorce, a lighthearted yet insightful guide filled with strategies for couples navigating the game together. She's here to share her passion and perspective with us and women all over, to rediscover their love for life and golf and focus on their longevity. As she says, golf stands for great opportunity for longevity and fitness. And with that, Jeanette, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. It's a pleasure having you on the program today.
Thank you, Dave. Wow, that sounded great.
It did. And I think there's a lot to be said for aging. I don't know if I want to call it gracefully, but aging well. I mean, if you hadn't told me you were 67, I would have never believed it.
I feel like I'm 35 again, so it's really fun.
Yeah, for me, one of the things during the pre-chat, I think we talked about, just lifestyle changes in general and the importance of just healthy nutrition, balanced diet, exercise. And that's something about 4 years ago, I embarked on my own journey with that. And I'm going to be 70 this month. And at 70, I feel better than I ever did at 35 because of being mindful of what I'm putting into my body, making sure that I'm getting the right amount of exercise every week. And there's a lot to be said for that, for aging well, aging creatively, and improving quality of life.
Yeah, and isn't it too bad that we kind of started that too late? I mean, not too late, but so late in life. Same with me. My journey started 6 years ago, and I changed the way I ate and changed the way I did things. And wow, it's like, who would have told me 50 years ago and I should have been doing that?
Yeah, I sometimes look at, hindsight's 20/20, Jeanette. It always is. And I looked and I said, boy, if I had started this at 35, but I didn't. I was meant to start it at 66. And so now at the latter stage of my life, I feel better than I did in the beginning stage of my life. So now, speaking of your experiences, tell our listeners about the experiences that have shaped your current life path and your life passions today.
Well, as you heard in the bio, there's a lot about golf in there. I grew up in Hawaii, and my mom and dad were avid golfers, and so they are a big part of me becoming a big athlete. Believe it or not, I have two brothers, 3 years older and 3 years younger, and I'm basically the only athlete in the family. So how does that work? But yeah, I started off in high school. I actually played on the bowling team, the swim team, the golf team, and the tennis team. And eventually the coaches all talked to each other and said, she's missing my practice. Well, she's missing mine too. So they made me choose. So I chose tennis and golf. And then those two coaches talked. And so then I chose golf. But it's been a phenomenal journey for that because it's led sort of full circle through my whole life. Part of the golf, I had to qualify for the boys' golf team back in 76. There was no girls' golf team. And that was trying to overcome an objection there, an obstacle. And it was tough, but I got through it. And it's really interesting because we're having our 50th anniversary reunion for high school next year, and all the guys can't wait to see me. I remember how good a golfer I was back then. But yeah, so I went from high school and then I went on to play collegiate golf. And I had some obstacles there that I overcame. And then I went on tour and played professionally for almost 10 years. And that was amazing. I had so many experiences for that. And it's just, sometimes I look back and say, I should have enjoyed the road a little bit longer because you're in the heat of the moment. You don't enjoy it as much as you should. Because I look back and say, man, there's so many things I should have done back then. But that is really good. And then that actually golf kind of brought me into my health and wellness teaching and coaching because I found a medical device I've been using and it's revamped my whole life. And it's just been amazing. And now because of that and things that I'm doing, it's bringing me back into coaching and teaching golf and helping people with their longevity and their health and their golf. It's fun how it's been a whole full circle for me.
Now, are you speaking of Beamer therapy?
Yes. Yeah,
I kind of figured because I know you're a big advocate for Beamer therapy. Can you tell us what Beamer therapy is? And how did it specifically improve the overall quality of your life and your overall well-being?
Well, you know, it's funny. The color for Beamer, it's a European company from Liechtenstein, and their color is orange. So I kind of developed the orange outfits all the time. And I found it because I was leaving a golf tournament, going on an airplane, and I met a lady in front of me walking down the tarmac, had an orange suitcase and orange carry-on. And all I did was mention the pretty orange color, and that changed my life. And so I tell people, you've got to be open. You got to be aware of things. You never know who's going to jump in front of you. God puts people in your path for certain reasons. So we started using the product. And as an athlete, I thought I knew everything about all the tools for recovery at the gym, but I had never heard of this before. I'd had a TENS unit and I had used the rollers and I did all the exercises, but this is so simple. You lay in a therapy mat on your bed for 8 minutes in the morning and 8 minutes at night. And it increases your microcirculation holistically and naturally. It is funny because at first I'm like, so what? It increases blood flow. Honestly, I was like so stupid. I didn't know when you increase blood flow, you have more oxygen nutrients getting into every one of the cells. Then the cells internally can help replicate healthy cells. The mitochondria makes more energy and ATP, and your whole body just starts feeling better. And I had gotten to the point in golf when I was 55, 60 years old, where I was like, I can't go any further back. And now I'm twisting and turning and I have the biggest backswing. I'm so much more flexible. I can now squat down and read my putts just like the youngsters do. And I can get back up. So it's been really enjoyable to see my whole body just get better and better and better. And I've been using this for 6 years. And I just tell people, anybody that has blood needs to use this, whether you're a weekend warrior on the golf course or as an athlete or you're a professional athlete, or just you want to have longevity and you want to feel good and not live your later years in life hurting. And so many people say, well, that's just natural. I'm just getting old, so I just have to deal with it. But honestly, the definition of aging is actually the continuous impairment of the microcirculation. And that's where Beamer comes into play because it helps the microcirculation in our whole body. And Dave, do you know what percentage of your circulation is arteries, veins, and capillaries?
I have no idea.
I didn't either until I started learning, but 26% of our blood vessels are arteries and veins. Those are the big ones that the heart pumps. And then the capillaries make up 74% of our blood vessels. So that's why it's so important to have increase blood flow in the capillaries.
Oh, it makes sense. And if we can increase blood flow, we increase energy. And I think that also has an effect on our mental health. I think we feel better when we have more energy.
Right.
We're more alert. We're happier. We're probably less depressed. We have more energy.
And we sleep better.
Yes. Yes. And that's especially as we age, sleeping consistently is a challenge as we get older. And I think anything we can do to kind of skew that in our favor where we're getting, I can do 5 or 6 hours of sleep consistently as long as it's consecutive and I'm fine. Mm-hmm. So if there's anything such as Beamer therapy or any other holistic practice that can help us improve the quality of our sleep, I'm all for it. And especially if it has non-medicinal effects, I'm even more for it.
Right. Well, if you're not sleeping, getting a good 7-8 hours sleep every night, you're really not a healthy person, because that's the only time the body has, where it's shut down and the body has time to rejuvenate itself. So, and I hear so many people that they'll sleep, like you said, 4 or 5 hours, and then maybe wake up, go to the restroom, and then they can't get back to sleep. And now they're up for 2 hours. And what's nice about our product, it's in our bed. So if that happens, then we go to bed and we can't go back to sleep, just push the little button and it goes on again for a little bit longer, and it just puts you right to sleep. I mean, I fall asleep within 4 to 6 minutes.
Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible. How many individuals worldwide are using Beamer therapy? Do you know off the top of your head, Jeanette?
Well, I really don't know. We're in 42 countries, so it's nationwide, all over the place. It's only sold by referral partners, distributors. And so I just love to share it with people as much as I can, because people don't know about it. And unfortunately, we need our doctors. Doctors are awesome, but Western medicine only does so much. And so people have to have an open mind, knowing there is something else out there that can work. And the unfortunate part about it, it's not covered by insurance, because insurance, I don't need to say a whole lot more, right?
Yeah, I think because
you're not taking medications, nobody's making money. So,
oh, and absolutely. And health coverage varies so much in this country anyway. Not everybody has consistent health coverage. Some have better health coverage than others. And it's just been, that's been kind of an issue in our country, I think, for as long as I've been alive. So, but
I always think people too, even though it's not covered by insurance, neither is food. And yet we fill up our refrigerator all the time and we eat. So you do what it takes to get your body feeling healthy again.
Absolutely. And I'm with you. I think Western medicine, there's always a place for Western medicine and science, but what Western medicine can achieve, holistic practices such as Beamer therapy, yoga, meditation, sound therapy, acupuncture, I think in conjunction with evidence-based practices, I think increases the quality of our life and our overall health. I'm a big proponent of integrative medicine anyway. So, and that's one of the reasons when we talked, I think I align so well with that, with your perspective, because that's where I live.
Food is medicine to our body. And so I felt so bad that it took me so long to actually learn. When I first got involved with Beamer 6 years ago, my mentor came to me and said, now you're an athlete. Well, the first 8 months, all my joint body aches started feeling better. I mean, I just felt so good and was telling everybody how great I felt. And then he came to me and says, now we need to work on your lifestyle eating choices. And I'm like, I eat healthy. I don't eat candy bars and stuff. But wow, did I not know anything about reading labels and learning about what's really in our food, packaged foods and stuff. And I just wanted to lose 8 to 10 pounds. And so I ended up losing 45 pounds. And I have kept it off for all 6 years and feel great.
Yeah, for me, it was a 70-pound weight loss, and I've kept it off for 4 years. And just by rearranging my relationship with food, taking a look, managing the triggers that caused me to stress eat, just doing those little things in conjunction with exercise, regular exercise, did the trick for me.
And I got to share, there's a little app that I use on my phone. It's a free app called Yuka, Y-U-K-A, and it has a little carrot as the icon. And people say, put that app on your phone and go into your pantry or your refrigerator and scan all your salad dressings and scan everything. And you'll see it's all poor, terrible poor. And so that gives you a really good idea of what is really healthy that you should have in your house to eat.
Yeah, I like that. I think we need to, as a society, be more mindful of what we're putting into our bodies, because food is fuel.
Yeah. And then I have a slide when I do a presentation that shows putting milk in a gas tank. you know, nobody will put milk in their car because they'll ruin it. I mean, you have to put gasoline in the car. So why are we putting sugar on our bodies? You know, when we had the pandemic, I mean, if everybody would have been promoting instead of, say, 6 feet apart, if we had just said, don't eat sugar, people would have been so much healthier and better off.
Particularly when you look at with kids, particularly kids that are diagnosed with ADHD, it may be just processed sugar that they're in, processed foods that they're eating that are causing their hyperactivity. So just a change in diet could shift, you know, could shift the script on a potential ADHD diagnosis. But
and the other thing too is when you start eating unhealthy, then people say, well, it doesn't taste good. Well, that's because your taste buds are so bad, and sugar is worse than being a cocaine addict. And so once you get rid of it, and when you start eating healthier, it takes a while, but your taste buds change. And then I crave vegetables and greens in the morning to eat vegetables for breakfast, you know? I just love getting those vegetables in, so.
And for me, it's berries. I crave all the antioxidants in the morning, as well, too, so. Just shifting gears for a minute, I was reading your LinkedIn profile and I saw this passage. As a dedicated health and golf coach and speaker, I specialize in mindset transformation and holistic health solutions. Can you tell our audience first how you facilitate mindset transformation with your clients and what holistic health solutions do you discuss with them?
I credit my dad for this because ever since I was little, when I started playing golf, he put some positive motivational books in my hand. And so I started off with The Magic of Thinking Big by Maxwell Maltz. I always remember that book, highlighted it all the time. So I was a student of self-improvement. And that goes hand in hand with positive mindset. Basically, everybody has a choice when you get up in the morning, if you're going to be happy, if you're going to be sad, or, you know, you have a choice. A glass is either half full or it's half empty. And if it's half empty, then you got to figure out how to make it full. There's always options. So I just say everybody has a choice. And when I decided to lose some weight, it was a mindset. I just turned my mind and saying, I'm going to do this. I didn't have to do it slowly. I went and looked at the shelves and got a 5-pound bag of sugar at the store. And I just put it up against my hip. I thought, wow, if I eat that cake, then that 5 pounds is going right into my hip or right into my stomach. And to me, that was a visual, and it really helped me. Anytime I would go grab something, I'm like, that's going straight. Why even eat it? Just put it right on your hips. So it's a mindset. You have to think. And little did I know that probably 80% of the world have a problem with mindset, because I just was always brought up that way. So I would love to teach the listeners to really go into all the podcasts online and the YouTubes and books and stand in the bookstore and go through all the motivational self-improvement books, because mindset is a huge difference in how you see anything. And, you know, nobody pays attention to certain things, but if I say, you know, the reticular activating system, if I say, I want to buy a red car, and I talk about this red car, everybody out here is going to go out tomorrow and they're going to see so many red cars because I put it in your mind and you start noticing it now because you're thinking about it. So whatever you think about sort of comes about, and then you're drawn towards that. And I'm a real believer in manifestation. And, you know, you think about it and it comes into being, because it's the earth energy and the earth's energy and everything coming together. So it's not easy for everybody, so it's really important to get coached. And whether you're getting coached by watching YouTube videos and podcasts like yours, I don't think people should be watching TV. In fact, you have podcasts on your phone now. You don't even need CD or cassette tapes in the car like we used to have. But whenever you're in a car driving, listen to something motivational. Listen to something that's going to be self-improvement for your body and your mind. Because your brain can get you unhealthy just as much as the food you eat. I mean, so you have to think positively and you have to think good. And like when I teach golf lessons on the driving range, so many people, they hit a bad shot and they, oh, damn, you know, just, they're all mad and I've lifted my head again. So what are they doing? They're verbalizing bad things happening and they're telling themselves, I lifted my head again. So I'm constantly telling people, you need to say, I need to stay bent over more. You need to tell yourself in a positive word. And then when you miss the shot, you need to say, well, I almost did it right. Let me try again. So when I played tennis and I was in a doubles team, I hated it when my partner kept saying, sorry, sorry, when she missed a shot. Because to me, when you say sorry, that's saying you deflated yourself. I was bad. I hit a bad shot. So I just say, hey, you were there. You almost got it. So you can always turn things around and think of it in a positive way. I've had people actually put on a bracelet anytime something negative comes, they say something, turn it, flick it, and turn it and put it on the other hand. Because you'll be amazed at how many times you think of a negative thought and just put it back onto the other hand. Because you have a choice in how you think, and you just have to train your brain to always think the right way.
Yeah, I think sometimes we're our own worst enemy just because of the things that we tell ourselves about ourselves. And I think you're right. If the verbiage is positive, if we look at mistakes as information and say, okay, I got to bend over more, or I missed a shot, but the hole isn't over yet. You know, I can still recoup. Those are things that I think create more positive manifestations of results. And just because if we think negatively, everything we attract is going to be negative.
Correct. You know, and say, oh, I hate this hole. I always go in the water.
Yep.
I think your ball is going to go this time too. The ball is only 1.5 inches wide and that fairway is so wide. There is so much green grass in that fairway. That little tiny ball can go into the fairway.
Well, you know, here's the other thing. I mean, I'm going to use a baseball analogy. You have a 300 hitter. They got out or struck out 7 times with the 3 hits that they got every time of bats, they were in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not always going to be perfect, but excellence doesn't demand perfection. It just demands that you do your best.
And, you know, I have a story. Last summer, I played one of my last tournaments I played. I showed up at the golf course up in the mountains, and it had rained like 7 days before we got there in a row. And the golf course was soaking wet, and the rough was like so high. They hadn't cut the rough, and I didn't hit it very straight, and I got stuck in the rough, and I just played horrendous. And I just wasn't strong enough to hit it out of the rough. So on my way home, I was so mad. I said, I'm quitting golf. This is ridiculous. Or I'm going to go get stronger. So what do? I'm not a quitter. So I went home and got a personal trainer, and I've been to the gym ever since. And I am like super strong and feel so good. And it makes a huge difference. So, you know, sometimes people need an accountability coach or a really good support system too. So whether that's a friend or a husband or something, you need to have people in your corner to help you out, because we all slip.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if we can look at obstacles as opportunities to improve, is just rather than just simply obstacles, you know, we can look at the negative things in our life a lot differently, or the setbacks a lot differently.
Mm-hmm.
So during our introductory call, we also talked about the role of sports psychology in golf. From your experience, how does sports psychology help improve performance outcomes for professional golfers? What have you, for yourself, and what you've maybe heard from other women on the LPGA Tour?
I mean, just like what we're talking about, you have to believe that you can win. You can believe that you can do your best. And your brain, I mean, I listen to motivational brain tap in my mind. So when I'm going to bed, I'm listening to things over and over again about how good I am and how good I hit the fairway and how many greens I hit regulation. And you have to, and some people say you're tricking your brain. Oh, that's false. Well, you kind of are, but your brain is listening, and then your brain will do what it is constantly fed. And so that's why it's so important. And, you know, there is only a slight difference in any sport between the champion and the 10th place and the last place. So it's just that much difference. And it's everybody's talented. Otherwise, they wouldn't be playing, right?
Oh, for sure.
So it's just a matter of mindset and believing that you believe that you belong there and not feeling intimidated. And if you do, then realize that, practice it and practice it, and then go back out and do it again. You can't get any better quitting, right? So just keep practicing and doing it again.
And, you know, I wonder, Jeanette, how much our personal histories have to play in our mindset, particularly with how we perceive outcomes to be in any athletic competition. I have always wondered about that, is the personal histories of those athletes that come in. I mean, we bring our personal histories into any setting.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I tell my students at Utica University, I said, with relationships, I said, if you're going to get into a relationship with somebody who's had a previous history of relationships, being in a significant other relationship, you have to determine which baggage you're going to leave at the door for this relationship and which baggage you're going to work on together. And I just wonder how much history plays a role in that in terms of early childhood experiences and other narratives that did not get revised early on that contribute to some to athletes who obviously have the talent, but yet fall short in terms of their own expectations and what others' expectations are for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where I love watching the Olympics. You know, when you hear somebody that wins the gold medal and they had never made it to the Olympics before, and it's the first time they've ever done it, or the first time somebody won a golf tournament and they missed the cut the last 2 weeks. Those bring tears to my eyes all the time, too, because if you're always thinking about the past and not believing you can do it in the future, then why are you even out there? You hear so many come back from behind stories all the time, and other people can do it, so why can't we? So I always hold the dream. You got to have the dream out there and know that it can happen.
Yeah. I think regardless of outcome, professional athletes can be a source of inspiration for those who aren't professional athletes, and a source of inspiration in terms of lessons of not giving up, being persistent, achieving your goals, working hard towards your goals. And I think that's regardless of outcome.
Mm-hmm. When someone's in golf, especially, I mean, if they're leading the tournament and then they blow up in the last few holes or something, dang reporters, they always want to talk about the blow up. And so it's so hard, like you're saying, because everybody wants to know about that negative thing that happened. So I really applaud the people that just turn it around and say, you know what, it's a mistake I'll learn from, and I'm moving forward. And that doesn't define who I am. I played 71 holes good and one bad. I think, come on, don't focus on the one bad hole.
Yeah, it's like the perfectionist who gets 99% of questions right on an exam and focuses on the 1% that got wrong. Let's look at what you did right, okay? And obviously, it's unfortunate that you blew up on that last hole, but you know, what can you learn from that you can take moving forward? And I feel for it because I've seen that. I remember one golf tournament years ago where I think it was a major tournament. I forget the name of the golfer, but he had like a humongous lead going into the last round. I think he blew it the last day. And all they kept talking about, the press was going back to, was that one day that he failed. They didn't talk about the 3 days that he was successful and led from wire to wire. They wanted to focus on that one day that just everything, you know, went to crap.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes bad things sell better. So.
Yeah, you're right about that. But that might be the topic for another discussion. So,
yeah.
Got to ask you, what would you share what your most memorable moments or moments that you've had experience as a professional golfer on the LPGA Tour?
Well, one thing I like said, I kind of wish I knew how good I was when I was out there, because I didn't think that. Now I look back and say, wow, I played for 10 years and I was successful to be on the tour for 10 years. One of the funniest things was my dad one time at the very beginning was caddying for me, and he was just as nervous as I was probably. But the first hole was a par five and I hit it in the right fairway bunker, and we walked down there and he stood there and he pulled out his sand wedge and handed it to me. You know, 250 yards to go, and he's just thinking sand wedge, sand.
Yeah, sand.
That was so funny because he said, I was so nervous the first hole.
If you get a 250-yard sand wedge, you'd be winning a lot of tournaments. So you would only need your driver and the sand wedge and a putter.
Yeah, right. After I first got married, then I played some tournaments. I was playing a tournament in Hawaii, and my husband was at home, stayed at home, and he was at work. And I played very well, and I was on the 18th green. And this is another thing about negative stuff, but throughout the whole tournament, and the last day I was being televised, I had such a useful swing. And then I find out later that the broadcasters, all they did was say, wow, she's going to have a bad back. Look at that swing. She's going to have a bad back. And I'll tell you, for the next months when I traveled on tour, everybody said, how's your back? I'm going, I don't have a bad back. It's just because they mentioned it, everybody's thinking that. But on that last hole, I was on the green playing really well. And I looked up at the scoreboard and I saw 15 people tied at fifth place. And I'm like, oh, no. You know, so I had this 50-foot putt and my caddy's helping me. And he says, don't leave it short. Get it all the way to the hole. Get it to the hole. And I smacked the putt and it went in. A 50-foot putt went in. And I was like so excited. So I had gone from 15 people tied at fifth place to alone at fourth place. And my husband was home at work watching it on TV. It's really exciting for him to see that We just got married, and here I am. I made this big putt. So,
yeah, you had a hole of 50-foot putt to get you a little bit more prize money. That would be memorable for me too. So,
yeah.
I mean, I used to play golf when I was young, and I gave it up in 1996. I think I gave it up, Jeanette, because my vocabulary got better in my golf game. So when I knew my vocabulary exceeded my talent, I just said, maybe it's time to look for another extracurricular activity. But I did have some fun moments on the golf course, particularly the camaraderie with friends and family that we played with.
That's why I like golf, is because you can play with so many people. And even if you're not good and somebody else is very good, you can still enjoy the golf cart or walking along the fairways together. But where in tennis, if somebody's not good and the ball never comes back over the net, then you really can't have a game. So golf is great with that.
Yeah, and basically with golf, it's, you know, you're your competitor. I mean, you're competing against other golfers, but basically you're competing with yourself to make the best possible shot at each hole. And I think that's the other thing that makes it interesting, just from that perspective. But
Dave, that's kind of why in high school, and I was trying to decide between tennis and golf, I thought that exact same thing, because in tennis, I'm playing there and somebody beats me. In golf, nobody's beating me. I'm just playing against myself, and I either play well or I play better or play worse and mm-hmm. beating me, because I'm not playing match play. I'm playing stroke play.
Yeah. And I think if you concentrate on competing with yourself, I mean, you're able to shut off all the other distractions and just focus on being the best version of yourself on the golf course and in life on any given day. So,
mm-hmm. Very true.
Jeanette, if you could leave our listeners with one ultimate takeaway today, what would that be?
Well, you know, your podcast is the teaching journeys, and to get better in life, you got to keep your mind open to new ideas and new teachings. And, you know, when you keep doing the things you keep doing, you're going to keep getting the results you're getting. So sometimes being open and listening to others, and I'm so thankful that I was open to listen to this strange holistic machine medical device that could change my life. I mean, I didn't understand why or how it could, but I'm so glad I did it, because look what it's done. And then also to have a support system, have an accountability coach, and read motivational books, podcasts, YouTube videos, more of yours. It's so important. We feed our body by eating every single day, and we drink every single day, drink water every single day. We need to feed our brain every single day.
Yeah, I agree with everything. Support, you know, healthy living, being mindful of what we're doing to our bodies, what we're putting into our bodies. And the other thing I would add to that is we're never too old or too young to learn.
Right.
And I mean, at 66 years old, I just reinvented myself through lifestyle changes. I continue to kind of evolve, and I'm going to continue to evolve until it's my time to go.
Well, you know, and I just started because of everything that's been doing, I've been starting to teach more ladies golf lessons here at home, and hearing and finding out that they're so embarrassed to go out and play, and they're not good, so they don't want to play. And so now I'm starting to evolve into golf retreats, and I'm going to have women's golf retreats where I come in for 3 to 7 days and teach them all the etiquette and the rules and teach them how to play and teach them how to feel comfortable on the golf course, so they can go out and enjoy it with their significant other, or their spouse or friends, because life is too short not to do something and to keep, you know, thinking you're not good at it. Again, we talk about coaching and keeping an open mind and always improving yourself and always getting better.
Absolutely. And my last question for you today is, if people want to get in touch with you, find out more about Beamer Therapy, find out about your golf retreats or whatever else you got going on in your life, what's the best way for them to do that, Jeanette?
Well, I think you're going to leave some links in the comments below. For Beamer, if they're interested in learning a little bit more about it, I have a private educational portal. There'll be a QR code and a link down below. It's basically movefreewithme.com/Evo, E-V-O.
And all of that, you know, your contact information and all of that will be in the episode notes on both YouTube and on my other podcast platform. So with that, Jeanette, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to spend with me and our listeners. I enjoyed our conversation, and I hope we can do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dave.
My pleasure. And with that is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.